out! Hut, 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 hut!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Jason Wilde, I trust you had a good day yesterday at the Pella Experience in Brookfield. It was nice to see you for a few moments. How are you doing today?
I'm amazing, and yes, yesterday was super fun, and we did not get to sit in the Jen and Chewy chairs, though. We sat in a different location in the expansive Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center.
Oh, man, people were big fans of those chairs.
Yeah,
the number
cool.
of texts and tweets that we got from people who wanted to come over to the Pella Experience in Brookfield and steal them was slightly alarming, if I'm being honest, Jason. So glad that you had a good time. We had a good time. And hopefully Pella got a lot of well-deserved attention for what they do. Let's talk about the list. I love that you're doing this list. It obviously evokes conversation, which is part of the exercise. Where are we at now on the list? I believe the last time we chatted with you, Carrington Valentine was the most important player. Was that 11th? Where are we at today?
Yes, number 10 today. And for those like Josh who think I'm skirting some of the rules, which I didn't even know there were rules.
Wait, isn't it your list? You make the rules.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer.
The top 20 list of 30 players.
Exactly.
Josh is like, numbers are the rules, Jen.
Number 10 is, or I guess, should I say are, Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan. Because whoever wins the job is the most important, and whoever loses the job is going to be the backup, or I suppose, and I don't address this in the piece, but if I'm Rashid Walker and they decide to give away my starting job after I've started 35 games for them and saved their asses in 2023 when Bakhtiari only played the first game, I'm probably going to ask for a trade. Whether I get it or not, I don't know, but I'm really curious to see how this plays out. And you know, obviously, when you're drafted in the first round, Chewy, you know this, being a sixth-round pick, they feel compelled to give you opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, you know, Jordan Morgan had the shoulder injury that plagued him all year. I didn't think he played particularly well in the one game he did start. And they're going to give him a chance. They have to figure out a place to start him. And if Rashid Walker, who really kind of gave him the Mike Tyson versus Michael Spinks knockout last year in training camp. I mean, he never challenged him for the starting job. It was Rashid Walker from wire to wire. And then they ended up working Jordan Morgan at right guard, which maybe they do that. And maybe Sean Ryan, who I thought answered the bell every time they asked him to last year, even when the head coach came out and basically said, yeah, he's out of shape. That's why he's sharing time. You know, what I loved about Sean Ryan was like, yeah, he's right. I am. I got to get in better shape. And he did and held on to his job. So I'm super curious to see how this offensive line shakes out. But we all know whether it's Ken Rutgers or Bruce Wilkerson or briefly for your team, John Michaels, the left tackle matters. And if he's not good enough, your quarterback's going to have a tough time. And so we'll see if which of these two guys wins that job. But it is clearly an important job on this team.
I nothing against Jordan Morgan, Jason, but I hope Rashid Walker gets it. I love players that they crap all over and then they rise to the top. What don't they like about him? Well, I just don't get it. He's not. He's a good player. He's not great. He's not Clifton. He's not Bakhtiari, but he's good. And he's a. It's a. It's a guy you don't have to pay $30 million to. You know.
Yeah, I mean, other than I love guys that they crap all over. I couldn't agree with everything you said more. I just would choose different words there. You're exactly right. I don't get it. And look, I want to be clear. I understand that the NFL is all about competition. I get it. But the dude has started 35 games for you. This is not, you know, remember in 2005, they drafted a kid out of Michigan State named Will Whitaker, and they started him as a seventh round pick as a rookie, at guard all season long. And, you know, he wasn't very good. That team wasn't very good. And they got through the season. Couch likes to call that the best 4-12 team in NFL history. But it was clear that he was not a long-term solution. And the following draft, they took Tony Mall, Darren College, and Jason Spitz, all in the first five rounds. And so I think Rashid Walker, who, by the way, is a seventh-round pick, but had he not gotten hurt late in his career at Penn State, he would not have been a seventh-round pick. He's more talented than your typical seventh-round pick, right? I mean, you were a sixth-round pick. Tausch was a seventh-round pick. Tausch was talented, but most teams didn't have a book on him because he only was a one-year starter. And so I agree. And frankly, if I'm them, doesn't it also help me if Rashid Walker is the starter and plays well enough to go get paid by someone else, and then I get a compensatory pick and probably a pretty high one because left tackles, he's not going to break the bank, obviously, but he's going to get a pretty darn good contract if he plays the same level. He could start at left tackle for a lot of teams in this league, including the Packers. So, yeah, I don't get it either. I totally agree with you, but again, you got to find, if you draft a guy in the first round, you got to find a place for him. And right now, there's no clear-cut place where he is the guy who deserves the starting job. That's why we're going to see what happens in training camp and in the preseason.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. There's a lot of stuff that comes out this time of year as we all anxiously await training camp starting up. And there's a lot of grades. So we've got the Sports Illustrated grades, which are going position by position in the NFC North right now. I got to be honest, checking those out, I don't really have an issue with any of them. I think they're all pretty accurate. I think they're all pretty fair. You know, things like Josh Jacobs behind Jahmyr Gibbs, et cetera, et cetera. But there are also Pro Football Focus that is putting out defensive grades for the Green Bay Packers. And I guess it brings up the question, Jason, how good do you expect this defense to be this year? Because Chewy and I talk an awful lot about we think the defensive line is not good enough. We have questions about the cornerbacks. Obviously, Edger and Cooper helps us feel a little more confident with the linebackers and sort of the middle of that defense. But is this a average defense? Like when we're setting expectations for what we think this defense can be, where are you setting them this year?
I'm setting them really high, but they are contingent on guys that have, it's incredible to me how much of this team's success or failure. And again, I love to use Chewy's team. Like everybody and their brother knew that your 96 team was really, really, really good, right? There was nobody thinking, oh boy, that tight end, if he could just elevate his game a little bit, these guys could be good, right? I mean, that's the truth. And I look at this team, and you just mentioned it. Is Rashawn Gary going to be the guy they paid $96 million to? I mean, he's a decent player. He plays the run okay. He generates pressure on occasion. But is he an elite pass rusher? No. Is Lucas Van Ness, who played last season with a broken thumb, going to be a productive pass rusher in his third NFL season after being the 13th overall pick and only playing 2 years at Iowa? I don't know. We've seen some flashes from him, but certainly not any consistently high level of play. Is Kenny Clark going to bounce back after a down year? Is Devontae Wyatt, who flashed in the first four games and then hurt his ankle and was MIA for most of the rest of the season, going to be a disruptive player as a former first-round pick who got the fifth-year option. That's just the defensive line. I just went through four guys that I think all have legitimate questions. Then you get to the linebacker group. I agree with what you said, Jen, about Edger and Cooper. He does have to become more consistent and more reliable in terms of his assignments, but he seems to have some special qualities that you're really excited about. Is Quay Walker going to play like the guy he was for the three games before he injured his ankle in Seattle? Or is he going to be the guy that was up and down and got kicked out of games and just was an inconsistent player who they didn't feel with an elevated fifth-year option number because of outside linebacker edge rushers didn't deserve a fifth-year option? You know, are these three corners that they are touting as all being starting caliber going to be good enough? And what happens if one of them gets hurt? Are one of these guys that has zero NFL experience going to be able to step in the way Tremont Williams did on the 07 team? So that's a hell of a lot of questions for a group that finished fifth in total defense and sixth in scoring defense last year. So I don't know. And then we've done the exercise. I won't do it again because I know we only have so much time, but there's a heck of a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball that I can do the same exercise with. So this is a really interesting team, because if all these guys that have shown flashes but have not shown consistent high level of play somehow all kind of come together at the same time, they got a really freaking good football team on their hands. Jason, but if those guys don't make enough jumps, Chewy, they're a 10-7 team that punches out in the first round, and then we're really having some interesting conversations about the future.
Jason, there's a lot of talk on these young linebackers, Walker and Cooper, but how big of a loss you think Campanelli will be?
Yeah, I don't know Sean Duggan other than the one time we talked to him, and the good news, if you're a Packers fan, is that he was in that room all last year. All those guys are familiar with him. He's familiar with them. And I don't want to say this is bad news, because Lord knows you played for plenty of coaches over your career. Andy Reid was not the most colorful character like Campanelli was.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean Duggan is definitely not Anthony Campanelli. I mean, he does not have that same fiery personality. And so does that matter? I would argue that as long as a coach works on your fundamentals and gives you the information you need to be in the right place when you're supposed to be there, you know, his personality is not the most important thing. But that's an extremely fair question. The other thing about Sean Duggan that I think is worth noting is that he's been with Jeff Hafley dating back to 4 years at BC.
Mm-hmm.
So he certainly knows the system in and out. He knows exactly what Hafley wants from those linebackers. So that's a good thing as well.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great weekend, sir. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And, of course, we aggregate, we compile, we take all of Jason's wisdom, and we put it on the new ESPN Wisconsin app so you can find it wherever, whenever, Shakira. Let's talk to Craig Karmazin right after this on Jen,
Craig's going to be joining us in the second segment of the 8 a.m. hour.
Craig.
In studio.
Audible. Craig with a little, what do you call that, plot twist? No. What do you call that, Joshy?
I don't know what you're looking for. I thought plot twist.
Sleeping in. That's what I'd call it.
Let's go with Chewy's. That works. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.